Hey, welcome to the Grace Hour, a daily program that takes a dive into the believer's daily challenges and helps him learn his faith in a practical way. My name is Pastor Justin Schaller, and I'm with Pastor Dennis White.
Yes.
And we're in the studio today talking about the anointing and what it is and how it's really a part of our life and a part of ministry, but really just a part of our lives as believers. So we're going to define what the anointing is, just from scriptural standpoint in the Old Testament, and then how it applies to us now as New Testament believers. So this is a great topic. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, I think the whole week we're talking about the anointing, and they're going to be talking about like different false views on the anointing. And if you Google it and YouTube it, you're going to find all kinds of funny stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is that an anointing is a biblical thing in our life. And what does that really mean? Again, that's what we're talking about today.
Mm-hmm.
Like for me in my life, you know, Joe Schmo in my workplace, do I have an anointing? And, you know, and how does that manifest itself in my life?
Sure.
These are good conversations to have because people that are spiritual, I mean, they're not only up there on the pulpit and preaching hellfire and brimstone or playing music, but they're also spiritual people, are, you know, everyday people sitting down in the pews. And I mean, it's amazing. They have the anointing also.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things as preachers. I mean, we get up in the pulpit every Sunday and we get the comment, especially with people that have been, you know, taught about what the anointing is, and we hear it, or that message was anointed, or the worship service was anointed.
Yeah.
But really, I mean, ministry-wise, what we do in the sense of getting up and preaching the word and teaching it, we have an anointing to do that. But it's really only 1%. Can we just say that? Like, if you're
true.
In a church of 1,000 people and there's one preacher, so that means that there's only an anointing for the person who's preaching, teaching, or doing the worship service. But that's not true.
That's not true. Absolutely not.
It goes for every single person who's in the church. It's just that maybe they don't hear that in their life every single day, in the sense of what you did in your spiritual walk was anointed.
Yeah. And then, you know, outside of that too, I mean, even as a preacher or worship leader, like, does that mean only your messages and only what your worship, you know, your time, that's the only thing in your life that's anointed? I mean, like, God forbid, because that's such a short amount of time in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would eliminate all those that are sitting, you know, in the pews listening to you preach or you listen to you sing, and like, therefore, they don't have an anointing either.
Right.
And how is that manifested in their life? Like, it has to be, and it is. We see that in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
More than just, you know, Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost. It mm-hmm. is more than somebody singing a song. It's really a part. It really should be how we function in our daily life.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why we're going to define it, because it's one of these words that can be used, like, with the Pentecostal movement or charismatic movement, where they're really involved in the gifts of the Spirit.
Right.
You can use this, they use this word anointed or anointing quite a bit. So people can be kind of scared of like what that is, because they can be wrapped in it, the power of the Spirit, or they're a conduit for the Spirit of God to perform these like miraculous miracles through these spiritual gifts. But really, I mean, in the Bible, and we're going to look at it, I think, in 1 John 2, what the anointing is, and primarily what its function is. So maybe we can just define it. So do you have a good definition what the anointing is?
I mean, I wrote this down here. It says, you know, really it is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, you know, just filling us in our lives. And it's really connected to us as believers serving God in humility and in meekness and in brokenness, you know. So, you know, the word anointing, you know, we could talk about where it comes from, but it really means like to be sanctified or to be set apart, right? Like one definition is to like be rubbed with oil, right? So there's an anointing oil.
Right.
But then there's the other side. It means like that symbolizes something that is set apart.
Mm-hmm.
So one of my favorites verses to, you know, start this off with is 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, when David is anointed.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, like, you know, Samuel is looking son after son after son after son of Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, God gives a little bit more definition. He says, oh, hold on. You're looking at the wrong thing. You're looking on the outside, which is something good to be said against these, you know, movements where you're emphasizing an outward manifestation of the Holy Spirit as mm-hmm. defining the anointing. Like, so instead of looking at the outside, God clarifies to Samuel that you need to look at the heart as I do,
mm-hmm.
which is really what God is saying. Okay, like, is there a manifestation of the anointing? Yes, but really it's a heart issue.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says that he finds David, he anoints him, and the very next word is that the Holy Spirit comes upon him, and he has power with God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so right there, what is the anointing? It means, like, David is being set apart, and the Holy Spirit is in his life.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, I mean, the anointing, and we could say two things. The anointing and the indwelling and the filling of the Spirit are very closely connected.
Yes, absolutely.
So, yeah, I mean,
I think you nailed it. I think you nailed it. Yeah, so that ceremonial part of, like, taking oil and pouring or smearing, anointing, like smearing or pouring oil on something. So it was used for the kings. It was used for the priests.
Yes.
It was used for the prophets. It was used for actually, like, the holy vessels in the temple and tabernacle that they would anoint those.
Yeah.
So the idea is that they're being set apart for a certain work.
Right,
exactly. That God wants to use them for a specific task. And so there's in David's case, when he fell in Psalm 51 with Bathsheba and killed Uriah, he makes that plea in Psalm 51 for the Holy Spirit. I believe that's where it is, that don't allow your Holy Spirit to leave me. So it seems as though with Old Testament believers, the Holy Spirit could come upon them very strongly.
Yeah.
And they could be indwelt, but the Holy Spirit also could leave, which is not true for us.
Yes.
Samson, another one, where he had the Spirit that came upon him and he was able to do these powerful acts. So the outward pouring of the oil was really just a reflection of this invisible spiritual manifestation of God's power that was working in that individual that was set apart to do the work that God called them to do.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so that's carried over. In James, he talks about if anyone is sick, let him be anointed with oil. But we see this word pop up now, where even with Christ, where he said when he started his ministry that he opened up the scroll and he read from Isaiah that the Spirit's yeah. upon me to preach the message. So we can see that his preaching was done, like Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, that the preaching of the message is not done with eloquence or with these big phrases or philosophies of the Greeks, but rather it's done in power.
Yeah.
So you have this anointed power to preach the word we see in the New Testament.
Yes.
You have the anointing power to heal, and you have... And we can maybe get into this, but every believer has an anointing in their life that when they become a believer in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in them.
Yeah.
So we can even say at that point of salvation, they're sealed with the Spirit, the same way that David was anointed king and the Spirit came in him
yeah.
to be commissioned to do the work that God called him to do.
Yeah.
So a believer, when they receive the Holy Spirit, that is the spot where they are anointed.
Yes.
The question is, what are they anointed to do?
Yeah.
And maybe we can talk about that and how that functions in a believer's life.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, it's just good to clarify, like, what is the anointing? I mean, I think we said it a couple times, but, I mean, there's two elements that are very important. One is that you're consecrated, you're set apart.
Yes.
You know, which also, I mean, there's other words that have that idea. Sanctification, you know, has that idea. The word holy also means to be set apart. You know, so there are all these Christian words, but anointing means that we're consecrated. And the other word that I love that you used is the word that we're consecrated for the work of God.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, like, we're not here as consumers in the church. Now, this is something we were talking about it, like, you know, in our church, like, how do we get more people to come. And it's interesting that in one way, like, marketing has turned the church into a consumer kind of idea,
mm-hmm.
where I'm not here to for a reason except for you to serve me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the idea that I have an anointing means that I am set apart, and I am set apart for a work, meaning that I am a part of a larger organism, and it's not just me out here.
Right.
And when we look at that word anointed, in the New Testament, it's usually used about Jesus. You know, so you reference Isaiah 61 and Luke 4, where Jesus says, I have been anointed, and I am the anointed one.
Mm-hmm.
Acts chapter 4, where he is called the anointed one. Acts chapter 10, again, Jesus is called the anointed one. Meaning that he is, in this word, I mean, it is amazing because it really has the idea that the word Messiah, both in the Greek and the Aramaic, both mean that they are anointed, that they mm-hmm. are set apart,
mm-hmm.
and they are given the Holy Spirit. So, I mean, the fact that I am anointed and I have an anointing right off the bat from receiving being saved, I have the Holy Spirit in me. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he is sealed. And right there in that verse, he says, the Holy Spirit's been given into me, and therefore I am also anointed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. So to think that I come into church and that I have an anointing, now maybe that anointing is never manifested because of the way I interact with the church.
Mm-hmm.
But really it is, I am there not to be like a consumer, but I am there as a family member in the body of Christ, and I have like a responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know.
Yeah, I always like to, just on that subject, when people come into the church, you know, I like to say, like, when you come in, like Paul would say to the Corinthians, in the sense of, you know, like when you come and you're a new believer, you're just a little child, so you need to be nursed with milk.
Yeah.
And so, like, we all get that picture in the sense that, you know, once we were little kids and we got our diapers changed and we were nursed by our mother, and then we were raised to the point that we could get our own cereal in the morning, and
yeah.
then we could feed ourselves. And then we eventually get to a place where we become adults and we're responsible for ourselves. And then we have children ourselves. So then the roles reverse. So in the church, if you have people that are new believers, they're going to be there and they're not going to really know what's going on so much. And that's okay.
Right.
But Paul says, that's okay. Just take the sincere word or the sincere milk of the word and grow up into full stature and become mature people. And then you to start to disciple other people with the gifts that God has given you.
Yeah.
So it's like you can get a lot of churches, maybe especially like you're saying in our culture, where people are coming in and they're just all about being little children and feed me.
Yes.
But a lot of church should be more that I'm coming to serve God and worship God.
Yes.
I even like to think worship service is not so much about me and if I enjoy it, but it's more about, does he enjoy it? And does he enjoy what I'm bringing to the table to worship him?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't want to go to church. I don't get anything out of it. It's like, well, if you're an anointed person, the point is not so much about what you think you want or need, but more about what he wants and what he is going to use you to do to give to other people in the body.
Well, we look back at, you know, in the Old Testament when the prophet, priests, and the kings were anointed. Like, the reason why they were anointed was for their service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and in these stages, especially in the early stages of the institution of the priest, prophet, and king, that they were there to serve others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not till later when these nations become more established that the king stops serving their people and they start being served. And when God had something to say against the priests, it was because they stopped serving the people, and they themselves were being served.
Sure.
You know?
Kind of like our politicians today. Aren't they supposed to be like public servants?
Yeah.
Not like doing insider trading and like being worth like $500 million. You're like, don't you get paid like $250,000 a year? How are you worth $500 million?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? I mean, yeah. Unfortunately, I mean, that's what a politician's supposed to be. They're supposed to be a public servant, and they're taking a lower road to serve for the greater good. And Israel is supposed to be like that too. But
yeah,
I mean, when you have everything at your disposal, it's like, unfortunately, it corrupts, like, man, in the sense of power corrupts.
Yeah.
And that's just the story of the Old Testament.
So I think we as people, I mean, we should be aware of this. Like, okay, like we have an anointing, but what is it for? Well, if we talk about for service or for being consecrated for a work, well, what's the first work? Like, well, it's not for me to serve myself or to serve my family. And you know what? I mean, and let's go even deeper. It's not even for me to serve my church.
Mm-hmm.
Because people can become so busy serving the church,
Yeah.
and they're using their gifts mm-hmm. to serve the church, but they stop serving God.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely,
you know. So I mean, but if I am,
are you
so
speaking that to yourself?
Let me. I'm thinking about my week here. Yes,
isn't it? I mean, yeah. It's always the balance of it.
Yeah,
you know, like what's really important, and we can always find ourselves doing things and feeling as though that doing things are the point, but it's really about serving Him.
Yeah. So, I mean, so that's a little bit about the anointing. What does it mean to have,
can I say one thing just about, like, the 1 John 2, and we can maybe read it, but to me this portion is so amazing because it's an unbelievable portion. And if I could just put it in like my own little nutshell of my interpretation of it, which I feel is pretty close to what he's trying to say.
Yeah.
But like when Christ, like if you look at Christ, Christ was like the perfect man. So he had all of the gifts, 100% of the gifts. So when you were talking about preaching, who was the greatest preacher ever, on the Sermon on the Mount, it's Jesus. Teaching, wisdom, love, self-sacrificial love. Humility helps. How about like the fact that he got down on his feet and he washed the disciples' feet? So if you look at the spectrum of like Paul's list of all the gifts, all those gifts are fulfilled 100% in Christ.
Mm.
1 John 2, John is saying that Christ has given you an anointing. Now, that anointing is to know the truth in 1 John 2.
Yes.
Meaning that you were spiritually blind, but he anointed your heart so that your heart could now see that he is the answer and he is mm-hmm. unbelievably valuable to the fullest extent that there's nothing more valuable than Christ. The only reason you got to that place was because you heard the truth. But not only did you hear it intellectually, but the Spirit anointed your eyes so that you could actually see the truth for what it is.
Yeah.
But when you became a believer, like Ephesians 1:13 and 4:30, you were given the Holy Spirit, sealed with the Spirit, and you were given a level of his spiritual gift. You were given a level of his anointing.
Yes.
So if you have a spiritual gift for, let's just say, helps, or let's say washing a brother's feet, like a great example of this is Philippians chapter 2, where Paul gives a list of all of these different capacities of ministry, starting with Christ, then Paul uses himself, and then he uses Timothy, and then he uses Epaphroditus, who was just a very common man in the Philippian church.
Yeah.
But he said in all these instances, they all had the same thing in common. They had the mind of Christ. So that's like Philippians 2:5.
Right.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So Christ was the full manifestation of all the gifts, but then trickling down from there, you start with Paul, then Timothy, a local pastor, then to Epaphroditus, who is just basically just a common guy, but all of them have the anointing that's come from Christ, and they're operating in it. And here's the key. Everyone who's using their gift is spending it on somebody else.
Yeah.
It's not this idea that my anointing is up here and someone else is down here. It's just that we all have a little bit of spiritual gift that Christ has given us.
Yeah.
And we're using it to for his glory, to our capacity or ability. But if you have a whole church doing it in a church community, you're going to have a greater manifestation of the fullness of Christ in that church when everybody's operating in the power of the Holy Spirit and bringing their gifts into the church. You're going to see Christ. That's what Paul says in Ephesians 4. You're going to see the full stature of Christ in the church.
Yeah. I mean, I was kind of thinking the same thing. Like, you know, we all have an anointing, but why would we say that somebody else has a stronger anointing than another person? You know, and I think you kind of touched on it. For one, there is different levels of maturity, right? Maybe somebody is, you know, a new believer and they're not quite mature enough, or they're drinking milk, as the Bible would say.
Mm-hmm.
So they haven't quite realized like the Holy Spirit inside of them. But how about somebody who is been a believer for years,
mm-hmm.
yet is not living in a full manifestation of their gifts or a full manifestation of the anointing? Like, what is the disconnect there for that person? Because, I mean, it doesn't matter which church you go to or what ministry you're from. You know, I've been in this ministry for a long time, and I know other people have. You know, but maybe somebody's been in church for a long time, but they've never really experienced an anointing. Mm-hmm. And I was studying it this way. Like, in Romans chapter 8, verse 36, Paul talks about, like, how he's laying his life. Again, the idea is like, I am serving somebody else. Like, he has laid his life down for the church in such a way that he has suffered. You know, so an interesting way, and I read this this week about the manifestation of the anointing, is really comes from my self-life being crushed. You know, so the more that my self-life is crushed. Now, that self-life being crushed doesn't happen. It's interesting because it happens through God, but also happens through my will.
Mm-hmm.
But if I allow God to crush me in myself, then I can find that I have this stronger ability. And take away the word anointing, and just put there, I have a stronger ability to serve others.
Mm-hmm.
And then what do people say about my life is that there's an anointing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not something I entitle to myself.
No.
But it's something that others give me through my service towards them.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, that's the key, I think. I think the key is, like, if we use the word anointing, what are we talking about? We're talking about you've been consecrated by the Holy Spirit for God's work, and God's power and life through the Holy Spirit is going to work through you.
Yes.
So, like, we know the feeling when we're with somebody that has the gift of faith. When you're with that person, do you leave and do you feel as though that you have more faith than you had when you first met? Absolutely.
Yeah. I just don't want to hang out with them because I feel guilty.
Like, you're with people that have like certain levels of faith. You leave and you feel edified.
Yeah.
And so what is that? Well, it's not the person in and of themselves in the sense that they're a great person, but it's rather that they've given through their will over, died to self, and allowed the Holy Spirit to do his work through them. And they have an anointing in their gift.
Yeah,
like, that's another thing, is that a person can have a natural inclination for something, but that's different than, and God's given them that, and he's given them that so that he can be glorified through that, but he wants the Holy Spirit to be the energy, or the, we could say, the gasoline to be able to fuel that person to perform with the gift that he's given them.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about it, too. I mean, isn't it interesting? Like, if somebody's more gifted, I think they have to be, and we look at that definition, he has to be more humble, he has to be more broken, he has to be more aware, because he could very quickly function in his gift versus in his anointing. Versus somebody like us, I mean, at least me, I don't know about you.
Yeah, me too.
But not so gifted.
Yeah.
Like, we are completely dependent on the power of the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
And on his filling and what he's able to do.
Absolutely. No question. We're just like, it's amazing. I was talking to somebody just recently. I said, I would have never gotten into a pulpit if I wasn't taught the fact that God gifted you, or he's given you the anointing power. And to be honest, when you're a young preacher, you need to hear that.
Yeah,
like, not in the
sense of gifted or anointed.
Yeah. I mean, it can go, your messages can go three ways. One, it could be you're really prepared, not anointed, and you get away with it.
Yeah.
The other is that you're not prepared and it's anointed and you can get away with it. But the other one is you're not prepared, you're not anointed, and you never want to do it ever again.
Right.
You know what I mean? So,
right.
But I'm saying it in the sense that, we're not doing this because we have any inclination in and of ourselves that we're even capable to be able to do it. But it's rather when you depend upon the Lord to be able to perform it.
Mm.
But you do have a gift to be able to do it that God's given you.
Yeah.
But you don't think too much of it, but you really come to him in a broken place. And a lot of times people think, like, we get up and we preach or teach and it's like easy.
Yeah.
Naturally, you want to run the other way.
Yeah.
I mean, there's Sunday mornings, I'm sure you can attest to it. You want to go the other way.
Yeah.
That's like, I don't want to do this. This is like terrifying.
Yeah.
But God says you learn to trust him over time that, Lord, like, it's not my will, it's your will. You know, I confess, I come clean before him in my heart, and I just ask him, can you breathe on it? Yes. And there's times that he does strongly, and there's other times that maybe not so much. Yeah. But the biggest indicator is, are people actually spiritually edified and transformed through it?
Right.
Because man's ability, his intellect, his skill sets, doesn't matter how loud he screams or how poetically he puts phrases together, that cannot change a human heart.
Yeah.
Only the anointing of God, which is allowing the Holy Spirit to flow through you in the sense of bringing out the Word of God and him bringing it alive to people's hearts.
Yeah.
That's only the work of the Spirit that he can do that.
Yeah. And the Spirit can't do that if I am alive in my flesh.
Yeah.
You know, and I think about it, you know, as any believer in their study life, in their Bible reading, I mean, we all have something in our self life we kind of have to, like,
yes,
get rid of. I mean, even us, we have stuff, you know, and if we are allowed through the power of God to allow, you know, to shed those things, you know, we will see the anointing in our life more and more.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, and here's the interesting thing is that there's many different manifestations. Again, people always think the pulpit and worship, oh, that's anointed. Well, because I entered into the presence of God. So, yes, I mean, it was anointing.
Right.
Right? But there's other manifestations of the anointing.
Absolutely. Like love. I mean, that's the biggest one. And all of it, again, it's Christ.
Yeah.
If Christ was in the room, Christ came into the world not to be served, but to serve.
Yeah.
So he was the greatest servant. And he just manifested it in such a multitude of different facets.
Yeah.
He brought in wisdom. He brought in teaching. He brought in service. He brought in probably just a sense of unconditional love.
Yeah.
He brought in joy. And so have a full spectrum of it.
Yeah. I think that's like the other word. When anointing is mentioned in the New Testament, one of the other only times that's mentioned is in James 4, and it's the anointing of joy.
Okay, there we go.
You know, and it's like, if I am missing joy in my life.
Oh, man.
I mean, am I anointed? I mean, I use this word fun.
Or maybe you need somebody who brings that.
Yes.
Like, in the sense, like, I know A.W. Tozier was like, he was more kind of one-sided in the sense of his pursuit of his devotional life and writing. But when it came to people, he didn't have that same level or ability to be able to make people feel warm and fuzzy. Maybe we could say.
Okay. He was socially awkward.
Yeah, maybe socially awkward. But he had somebody with him that was really good. So they were a team.
Yeah.
And I think of Peter and John, right?
Yeah.
Like Peter's like, go, go, go. He wants to like run through a wall. And then John is like, let me just sit back and contemplate and pray more. They're like two different types of people.
The body of Christ.
But Christ puts both of them together.
Yeah.
And they both have different gifts. And together, they're an awesome team.
And look how it changes everything.
Yeah.
You know, what I love about 1 John is not only does it mention, it says that you have knowledge, you know, 1 John 2:20, but in the previous verses, it talks about a lot of the context there is about the Antichrist.
Yeah.
You know, and if you think about it that way, it means that there's an anti-anointing. Because the word Christ or Messiah also means anointing.
Yes.
And that there could be something that in our life that where there's an anti-anointing in our life. And I just want to encourage, you know, all the believers and everybody that's listening, like to think about it in your life that you have an anointing in your life. And there is something that God has given you as a gift for the service of the body of Christ.
Yes.
You're serving your family, of course. You're serving the body. And when you are serving the body, that is when you realize the anointing. You're not going to ever realize the anointing from your couch.
That's a good point.
You know, what you might end up knowing is that there is an anti-anointing or an anti-Christ in your life who's preaching another gospel.
That's a good way to end it.
Yeah.
that's a
time already.
Yeah, it went by fast, but that's a great point.
Yeah.
Thank you for saying that. And I've gotten the question a few times over the years in the sense of like, I don't really know what my gifts are, or I don't know what my anointing, what it's for, where I should direct it. And I always give just a very simple explanation. What do you enjoy to do?
Yeah.
And what are you good at? I know that sounds maybe like more natural. It isn't at all.
Well, God's given you a new heart, a new mind, a new spirit. I mean, if you love it, I mean, it's probably going to be easy for you to do.
It's going to be easy for you to do.
Through the Spirit of God.
Like, do you like to give?
Then yeah.
Just give.
Do you
faith or whatever it is. So I just think that people can find it that way. But what you just said,
yeah,
in the sense of you're not going to find any of this if you're just not operating in faith obedience.
Yes.
And if you operate in faith obedience, that's the key where you die to self.
Yep.
And you're alive unto God and you walk before him in obedience by faith. And you're going to see that he's going to put you in situations that you're going to bless other people. And a lot of times you're not going to necessarily know you're doing it. And that's okay. But you're probably going to have
best.
Probably best.
Yeah.
But you're probably going to have a good time doing it.
Yeah.
So, hey, that was great.
That was awesome.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us today. And don't forget to subscribe. And these guys are doing a great job with this show. And it's a blessing. It's a real honor to be able to be a part of it.
Yeah.
But don't forget to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. I don't know what the more is, but there is more. So be sure to join us for our next show next week on Monday. And the subject, I believe, is going to be anointing all week, correct?
Yes.
Awesome.
That's it.
That's great. Thank you, guys.
God bless.